Our God is a God of grace. He's a God of mercy. He's a God of love. My understanding of love and His understanding of love don't connect. They don't match. My comprehension. Was limited for years to a sinful nature and bound by that sinful nature. The humanity of my mind brought torment and distress. Humanity of my thinking brought me to death. When I purposed to seek for Him with all my might, my strength, my will, I found a lot more than I could comprehend. You know, when God begins a work in a man, He has a pattern to go by. The architect in the heaven, Jesus Christ, coordinated all the angles and all the ways of your and my DNA. And He said, according to the pattern, I shall reconstruct that which was original from that which is the reality of today. And in case you forgot, our Father doesn't fail. People fail. Many years ago, the Lord began to show me that there was a calling in my life. I could not comprehend it. I tried to shut it down. I tried to close it away. I tried to hide it. Tried to put it in one pocket after another, and in case you forgot, He knows how to jump out of pockets. And His reality became more acceptable as I submitted to the potential of His creation inside of me. I'd like you to come with me to John chapter 16. Now, I read the majority of this chapter, and I'm saying, Lord, what in the world is it that you want? So I'm nosy, and I'm knocking on His door, and I'm saying, God, what is it? What is it? And I'm not getting anything. Nothing. Then I'm on my drive down here, and I hear verse 32. I said, I wonder if there's 32 verses in John chapter 16. So my brain decides to go to work, you know. So much for teaching you how to use your spirit. See, I can teach you how to use your spirit, but I still have to put up with my mind. And it's a wonderful gift. If it only starts thinking like the Lord. When it thinks like Him, I'm in trouble. Amen? All right. So verse 32 is where we're starting. But a time is coming and has come when you will be scattered, each to his own home. You will leave me alone, yet I am not alone, for my Father is with me. But I didn't understand. I said, Lord, what are you getting at? He says, how many times do you get rejected and like the bottom of your legs fall off? Am I the only one? Put your hand up if that you get that feeling when rejection comes. Boo. And you just like, your legs just got cut off. You lose your energy. You lose your power. And I said, oh my. Yeah, that is the truth. That's how it feels. It's like somebody just came and just used a chainsaw on you. And it's a spiritual chainsaw. Now, if you've never had rejection in your life and you've had a stable life all your life, you're not even a believer. You know why? Because he chooses the, what? Odd things to baffle the wise. See, a person who has everything going for them don't look for the Lord. They don't need him. James 1 says, is your life full of difficulties, trials, and temptations of many kinds? Then rejoice, because what are you going to do? You're going to look for a way out. You're going to look for a victory to come out of it. Amen? You're going to search out the things of God, because the things of man bring you to what? More despair, more rejection, and more hurt. So now Jesus is letting us know a time is coming and has come when you will be scattered, each to his own home, and you will leave me alone. Now, that gives me comfort. You know why? Because he understands what it's like to be left alone. Meaning he'll have compassion when I'm crying out to him. Where are you, God? I feel so alone. And the tears are falling on your pillow. Never happened to you guys. Didn't did to me. What happened? Why am I so feeling so alone? Why am I so alone? So rejected, so left out. Why is that happening to me? Yet he declares, yet I am not alone, for my Father is with me. Is his Father touchable? Yes, it is. You can actually touch the reality of our Father, even though he's spirit. Can you sense when he's present? Can you perceive something is real when he's around? Yeah. But sometimes the emotions are so strong that you feel zilch. Correct? Like, oh God, he left me, I'm all alone. And I am what? In despair, in hopelessness, in discouragement, and there's no hope for me. So the declaration that Jesus gives us is something of an example. There are times when rejection will come, when despair will come, hopelessness will come, and you can declare the words of the Lord. I may feel alone. I may have been deserted by all my, what? All my surroundings, family, friends, workers, blah, blah, blah. They're all gone. I feel totally, completely alone, yet in the realm of the Spirit, my Father is with me. That is, it will shatter the enemy if you trust him. If you trust those words to be true, they will be true. If you trust them to be false, then they're going to fall by the wayside and the depression will increase. The decision you make in that little space of time when those emotions are ready to jump at you will either mean that you will be in a place of grace or in a place of, go ahead, depression. Depression is not a friend. Depression is an enemy. and he does not come from God. Now I want you to back up. Verse 1. All this I have told you, so that you will not go astray. See the connection? They will put you out of the synagogue. In other words, you're going to get excommunicated. In fact, a time is coming when anyone who kills you, I mean, that's not too swift, is it? Will think he is offering a service to God. If you've got a red letter edition, this is written in red. You know, when this type of warning is given to us, it means that there is going to be hard spaces that you're going to walk into. It means that there will be times when the enemy will definitely orchestrate your death. Our first reaction is to hold on to. What is our first reaction? Hold on to the natural thinking. How do I get out of this? How do I run from it? Watch what he says. They will do such things because they have not known the Father or me. They call themselves religious, but they don't know the real Heavenly Father, and they don't know the Messiah, the Redeemer. Verse 4. I have told you this so that when the time comes, you will remember that I warned you. I can recall the two on the road to Emmaus. I had no recollection of this warning. It went right over their heads. Amen? They didn't connect the dots. They couldn't connect the dots. Have you ever had a training in one area and you start doing the training and you start doing the work and all of a sudden your mind goes blank? I used to know how to do this. I know how to get there, but how come I've got a blank? Happens. Sometimes God allows it, but there are ways out. Verse 5. Well, I'm sorry, let's get back up. I did not tell you this at first because I was with you. Now I am going to him who sent me. Yet none of you asks me, where are you going? Because I have said these things, you are filled with grief. But I tell you the truth. It's for your good. Oh, man. If this is for good, what would it be like if it was ugly? That I am going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Him should have a circle around it. You know why? Because he's talking about a person. He's talking about the reality of the third person of the Trinity. Him. I will send him to you. When he comes, he also should have a circle. Will convict the world of guilt. Is it your job to convict anyone of guilt? He, the Holy Ghost, is more than able to convict those that need convicting. If you start convicting them, you're going to be working for the accuser, and you're going to have egg on your face. Did you ever do that? Did you ever try to correct somebody and they don't want to be corrected? And all you get is mush. Okay? He will convict the world of guilt in regards to sin and righteousness and judgment. In regards to sin, because men do not believe me. In regards to righteousness, because I am going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. and in regards to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. Ouch. The prince of the world. Who is the prince of the world? Who offered all the kingdoms of the world to the Lord? Satan. So now he stands condemned. Is he overwhelmed yet? Not yet. He will be. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. Do you ever get to the point that you're so saturated with knowledge that you just got to run and rest? Because your brain just goes on tilt. But verse 13 says, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, who's the Spirit of truth? Holy Spirit. He will guide you into all truth. Who and why does the Holy Spirit guide you and me to all truth? Because that's his job. It's his specialty. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. Aha! So he's the one that's going to forecast the future for you. You want to know what's happening tomorrow? Ask the Holy Spirit. Will he give you the answer in detail? Could be. Yes. He might just give you a piece of the puzzle. Amen? He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. Now, he hasn't gone to the cross yet, and he's making a declaration. All that belongs to the Father is whose? Why? When did he give it to him? He hasn't dead. He's not dead yet. Huh?
In the creation?
No. No, he's not dead at the cross yet. In the Jewish tradition, I'm going to kind of twist you a little bit. A young man became an adult at 30 years old. When Jesus went into the Jordan River and he submitted to the high priest of the nation, you were right. Come on, Pastor Yvonne, you were right, and you didn't say it because you were what?
I said it, but you didn't hear it, right?
Oh, she heard. Okay, good. I'm glad that's testified to the truth. This is my beloved Son in whom I am. And that's when everything that belonged to the Father went over to the Son. This was normal for a father in the natural for all of Israel's history. A father would turn all his goods to his son at 30, as long as he could trust him. And if he wasn't trustworthy, he might grow to 40 and 50 and still not be his son. That's an ouch. You could be 30 years old in the spirit and still not be an adult concerning the things of God and concerning your own character. That's how important it is to develop your character, to be accountable, to do the things that are right before God and before man. St. Paul says, I try to please all people and to be all things to all people, not to be an irritation to everybody. That's right. That's accountability. And as you become more and more like the Most High God, guess what's going to happen? There's a day coming, he will say, and you, I am well pleased. And I will turn things over to you. Until then, you're a little teenager. You have your little fits. Well, God, where are you? Well, we talked about that. Was it last Sunday we talked about the fits? Understand something. Not all teenagers are like that, but many are. And they have these tantrums. How many had tantrums when they were teenagers? Thank you. Rebelled against mom, rebelled against dad. I gotta do it my way. Yep. And I did that. I thought I was right. So much for the thinking. Should have relied on my spirit, but it wasn't developed yet. Okay, let's go back. I will go back to 14. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. Jesus is the King of Kings. He earned it. He did it by obedience. He had 17 years of struggle from the time he was 13 to the time he was 30. And it was hell on wheels in order to obey every step of the way. If you look at his lifestyle and his pattern father, it was David. And David didn't have it easy from 13 to 30. I learned that by crying out to the Holy Spirit. Well, how do we know what Jesus' life was like? How come there's such a blank? He said, did they not call me the son of David? I said, yes, Lord. Then if you look at the pattern style of David's troubles, then you'll see the pattern style of Jesus' troubles. Verse 17. Some of his disciples said to one another, what does he mean by saying, in a little while, you will see me no more, and then after a little while, you will see me, because I am going to the Father? And they kept asking, what does he mean by a little while? We don't understand what he is saying. Jesus saw that they wanted to ask him about this, so he said to them, are you asking one another what I meant when I said a little while? You will see me no more, and then after a little while, you will see me. I tell you the truth. You will weep and mourn while the world rejoices. That should give you a clue. The world will rejoice when you're totally alone. The Lord will be with you. His Father will be with you. The Holy Spirit will be with you. But the world will rejoice while you're having a hard time. You will grieve, but your grief will turn to joy. Now that's good news. A woman giving birth to a child has pain because her time has come. But when her baby is born, she forgets the anguish because her joy that a child is born into the world. So that with you, now is your time of grief. But I will see you again, and you will rejoice, and no one will take away your joy. In that day, you will no longer ask me anything. I tell you the truth. My Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Isn't that an awesome thing? After you've suffered and gone through many things, and you have become more into a mature space, basically is what he's teaching them. There will be a day when you're not going to be begging for me to do something for you. My Father will have a relationship with you because the Holy Spirit will be released. Amen? Okay. Verse 24, until now you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete. Though I have been speaking figuratively, a time is coming when I will no longer use this kind of language, but will tell you plainly about my Father. In that day, you will ask in my name. I am not saying that I will ask the Father on your behalf. In other words, he's no longer going to need to do that. No, the Father himself loves you because you have loved me. So how does the Father fall in love with you and me? By our love affair with his Son. Isn't that awesome? And have believed that I came from God. I came from the Father and entered the world. Now I am leaving the world and going back to the Father. Then Jesus' disciple says, now you are speaking clearly and without a figure of speech. Now we can see that you know all things and that you don't even need to have anyone ask you a question. This makes us believe that you came from God. In other words, they still hadn't fully understood. But now there's another level that's coming into them. And look at the Lord's response. You believe at last? With a major question mark. Jesus answered, but a time is coming and has come when you will be scattered, each to his own home. You will leave me alone, yet I am not alone, for my Father is with me. So he's still declaring faith, giving us an example of what they should have done. Could they do it? I don't believe they had the power to do it yet. Because you see, the Holy Spirit had not been released yet. So they were still back into their flesh. They didn't have the inner strength of the Holy One. Verse 39. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. But take heart. I have overcome the world. There are times when the darkness overwhelms the light, at least feelings-wise, emotions-wise. That's what happens to us. But we have an example, and I'd like you to remember that, that when you have all these emotions all around you, that you can declare, I may feel alone, I may have all these emotions of being left out, and been totally rejected. But my Father is with me. My Heavenly Father will never leave me nor forsake me. My Father is with me. Put your hand over your heart, close your eyes. Say, Lord Jesus, let this word of good news to me to remind me when there's hardships and troubles in the world. You will never leave me. You will never, never leave me alone. I may have the emotions of being alone. I may have the emotions of rejection. Or despair. Or discouragement. But Jesus has made sure that by the Holy Spirit tonight, I can declare my Father, who is Spirit, is with me. And he's with you. And you. Look around. And you. Father, I thank you tonight for the refreshing wind that you have brought. This word, only you, by your Spirit, Lord, can bring it to life and keep it alive in them so that when the hardships come, they will overcome through the words of their mouth and the blood of the Lamb. And they will not fear dying or rejection, but trust that the Father is there all the time. Amen? And amen. Anointing of the Holy One of Israel, continue to bless you as you go forth in obedience. Father, I thank you for those that have decided to make a gift to this house. Lord, that you would bless them abundantly for your glory. I give you praise and I give you honor in Jesus' name.